You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Welcome to Unlikable Female Characters, the podcast featuring feminist thriller writers in conversation about women who don't give a damn if you like them. I'm Kristen Lepianka, and I'm here with Lane Fargo.
Hello.
And Wendy Hurd.
Hello.
So we've had a couple episodes that we recorded a few weeks in advance, and we tried to make predictions about what the world was going to be like at the time the episode aired. We've kind of regretted that, so we're just not going to do that at all, so... You know, greetings to the future. We don't know.
You know, we keep using the word bunker, and there's been no bunkers, so that's a win.
I mean, I guess that's true, but...
Yeah. But we're recording this and our next episode a few days before the inauguration, and we just, like, don't want to jinx anything or say anything. So, greetings to you in the future. Hope it went well. We will see you on the other side.
Yes. So what's the good word? What's new in your world, ladies?
I have been working on this super fun project that is taking my mind off my troubles, which is, this Audible book that I'm co-authoring with three other thriller authors, Kimberly Bell, Kate Hollihan, and Vanessa Lilly. It is called Young Rich Widows, and it is set in 1985, so it's, like, shoulder pads, big hair, my character is a stripper, it's, like, super fun, over-the-top, 80s-tastic crime thriller, and we are having the fucking best time writing it. Like, we have these Zoom sessions every week to kind of go over, we're writing, like, a chapter a week, and then we'll read those and get together and talk about them and plan the next phase, and it's just been such a great distraction, and I love working with all of those ladies, so hopefully that will be coming to Audible later in 2021, and it's definitely full of delightful, unlikable female characters that the listeners of this podcast will appreciate.
When I heard the title, I was like, oh my god, I love it.
That's all Vanessa. She came up with that. And the original concept as well. I got to give her props. It's nice. Been fantastic. And I'm so glad she asked me to be a part of the project, because it is, like, now I need this in my life, like, more than ever. Just this fun kind of communal, you know, like, getting to connect with other people and create something that hopefully readers will love too. But we're just having the times of our lives.
Awesome. Well, I have a new puppy.
Yay, she's so cute.
Her name's Lucy. She's 5 months old. She has been chained in someone's yard her entire life.
Ugh.
And I mean chained, like, with a heavy kind of chain you could tow a car with. Like the heavy-ass junkyard fence-holding type of chain.
She's like a tiny baby.
I don't even know if she's 7 pounds. Like, she's tiny. And so she and her mom have been chained in this yard. And I got her from a rescue organization that knew I was looking for a puppy, because I... Everyone wants a puppy right now because it's just a good time to get a young animal because you're home. Mm-hmm. And so, so now we have her and we're trying to teach her about the world. Everything is scary. But she's coming along very quickly. She's very smart.
And the good thing about puppies is they just, like, forget. I mean, dogs in general, I feel like, have goldfish brains and forget things pretty readily. Yeah. But, like, a puppy is very malleable. Yeah. And she's so cute.
Animals, like, I don't know how people who don't have pets are getting through right now.
I don't know.
Like, I really don't know. I rely heavily on mine for emotional support all day long.
Yeah, and for me, having a dog, it's, like, the only reason that I leave the house. Like, if I didn't have a dog, I would have no reason to see the sun, like, ever. So that's been, like, we take him out probably even on more walks than we...
Yeah.
Usually would, because we're like, let's just go outside and, like, there's some fresh air and we won't be here trapped together. We trapped outside together. Yeah, pets are amazing. I don't know what I would do without mine.
Nope. I thought that I had no updates to say and that I was just, you know, sitting in the dark muttering to myself these past few months, but then I remembered that I do have something to share, which is I just wanted to shout out the Sisters in Crime Pride Award, which is a new grant for LGBTQIA plus writers who are kind of at the emerging stage of their career. I am one of the judges, along with friend of the podcast Cheryl Head and also friend of the podcast John Copenhaver.
Awesome.
Nice.
And so that is open for submissions now. If you go on sistersincrime.org, you will see info about it. But it's really, really exciting that they have put this together, and I'm really happy to be a part of it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So let's talk 2021 books we're looking forward to.
Yes, we have quite a list, each of us, to share, I think. And these are books, we have not read all of them, at least I haven't read all of mine. Some of these are things that are, they're not coming out for many months, and we haven't gotten arcs or anything. We're just excited.
I haven't read any of mine.
Oh, really? Okay.
They're just books I'm looking forward to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was trying to come up with some that seemed like they had unlikable female characters, but maybe some of these don't fit the bill. But then, as we know on this podcast, any female character can be unlikable to someone.
Yes,
so I'm sure that all of you will find something in each of these. Yeah, I have a couple I have read for blurbs and stuff, and then others that I haven't. So who wants to start?
Why don't you start? Give us one.
Well, one I read recently that I really enjoyed that's coming out in January, January 19th. So, oh, that's this week. isn't it weird how, like, you don't really know when books come out when you read them months early,
yeah,
and then they come out and you're like, oh, I thought that was out like a year ago.
Uh-huh,
anyway,
yeah.
This is, it's called Shiver by Allie Reynolds, who's a former pro snowboarder, and it is about a group of friends who used to be professional snowboarders, and there was a tragedy that befell one of their group, and now years later they're meeting for a reunion under mysterious murdery circumstances at this chalet in the Alps, and it's like dark and spooky and wintry and a whole hell of a lot of fun. And I think it's been optioned for TV already. It feels like it should be a prestige miniseries, so I'll look forward to that. But that's Shiver
that
by Allie
amazing.
Reynolds,
and that comes out
January 19th.
Okay, great.
I saw this book and I was like, that's going to be amazing. I didn't know you had an ARC. I would have probably harassed you.
Oh, I just got a digital ARC.
Ah, okay.
I started going on Edelweiss and just being like, I want to consider this for my podcast. Let me read it. And then they like give me the ARCs.
I always request, my favorite thing is requesting my own books and being denied. I do it every time. They say no every time.
I'm like, they should, because now, you know, if I get the ARC, I'll talk about it on the podcast.
Yeah, see?
Maybe people will, you know, I don't know.
Well, a couple of mine are like, I know they're popular, but I'm really excited about them. So I'm like, I'm just going to talk about it. But this one that is everywhere is Detransition Baby by Tori Peters.
Mm. Oh, yes. I've seen that.
Oh, it's like a literary novel. You know, it's not a thriller. It's about three women, both transgender and cisgender, whose lives collide after an unexpected pregnancy forces them to confront their deepest desires around gender, motherhood, and sex.
Whoa.
So it's really interesting. You know how I feel about reading books about queer motherhood? You know, there's just not enough of it. And yeah, I'm just excited. I think it actually might have just come out. By the time this podcast airs, it will be out.
Nice. Well, also have a book that will, I think, comes out next week. Last Night at the Telegraph Club by Melinda
yes.
Lowe.
Mm-hmm.
So excited. It is a femme/young adult romance set in 1950s San Francisco's Chinatown. It sounds fantastic. Melinda Lowe is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just really looking forward to this. It seems super just atmospheric and cool.
I'm looking forward to that one, too. The cover's amazing.
Yes, it really is.
So my next recommendation, this I have also read, is Bad Habits by a friend of the podcast and our hero, Amy Gentry.
Yes.
We all want to be Amy when we grow up. And her first two books are fantastic and I love them both. But this one is like next level. I was so obsessed with it. It is set in this very competitive, fucked up graduate program. So it's got all this like dark academia, like backstabbing professors, which, you know, I
yes.
love. That's my shit. Exactly. And this book is so sexy. There are like very scorching sex scenes in it. The protagonist is bi also.
Oh. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it is. It's so good. I was reading an arc of it, and I was like a couple chapters from the end, and I had to go somewhere with my partner, and so we're in the car, and I was like, I'm just gonna finish this real quick, and he was like trying to talk to me, and I was like, no, do not speak. So I'm like, we're like racing down Lakeshore Drive, and I'm like speed reading the end of this book, and then I was like, okay, now you may address me, sir. Like, please. So highly recommend. That's Bad Habits by Amy Gentry, and it comes out on February 2nd.
Nice. Yeah, that one I'm really looking forward to. Okay. So my next one that I have is one that I just read. It comes out in May, and it's by Hannah Mary McKinnon, friend of the podcast. She's been on here, called You Will Remember Me. And this is one for, I know we have all our thriller readers who want a good twist ending. Like, you want that twist. We talk about the twist. This book has that twist. It is awesome. It's about amnesia, which is just like a very fun trope to me. Like, guy wakes up on the beach, has been hit in the head, can't remember anything, trying to figure out who he is, ends up in his hometown, but it turns out he ran from his hometown and why. And the main character is his girlfriend, who's like, what happened to my boyfriend? Is he dead? And then she has to follow him back and like uncover all his secrets. Mm. So badass. It's good.
Exciting. Nice. I am looking forward to a book coming out in mid-February, February 16th. It's The Echo Wife by Sarah Gailey. And they're the author of Magic for Liars, which was sort of like a Harry Potter meets murder mystery detective story that came out in last year, maybe 2019. Fantastic. Totally, yeah. But The Echo Wife is being described as Big Little Lies meets Black Mirror. Which is like, yeah. So that sounds incredible. Like, right? It's a domestic thriller that involves a scientist and her genetically cloned replica and the murder of the husband that they were sharing.
God, I love that. Oh, and
the replica is pregnant.
Nice.
So
I feel like the domestic thriller got so popular and it got so saturated, and now people are doing like weird shit with it, and I'm so excited for this new phase, right?
Yes. Yes, for sure. Like, I love the sort of exploding the parameters of that style. I'm just so excited to read this.
And it kind of turns back around to like the origin of the domestic thriller, which is the gothic. Like, right. It kind of is going full circle and just doing weird, like horror tinged things. And
love it.
Here for it. Love it. It's my turn again. So another book I'm excited about is Act Your Age, Eve Brown by Talia Hibbert, which comes out on March 9th. This is a romance novel, and it's the third in a series, but it's like one of those romance series where they're interconnected, but like you could read them as standalones as well and then kind of go back. It's about, because each book is about a different sister in this trio of sisters and their relationships. The first two books I read last year, and they were like some of the like brightest spots in the hellscape of 2020 for me. Like, just, I've been reading a lot more romance novels recently. It's just like a balm for my soul. And also, so instructive as a writer in like micro tension and character development and like how to write sex scenes and like all of this stuff. Like, I find it both entertaining and, just educational. So very excited for this third one in the series. And while you're waiting for Act Your Age, Eve Brown to come out, you should read the first two, which are what is the first one? Get a Life, Chloe Brown, and now I can't remember the second one. I'm sorry. They're all really good.
Awesome. That sounds wonderful. And I'm with you. I'm really enjoying romance, you know, more than I used to. I don't know if it's just that we're writing such dark stuff, so it is like a balm, like you said, or if it's just the times, or maybe we're just learning to more unapologetically like what we like and fuck it.
Oh, yeah, the second one is Take a Hint, Dani Brown, and it is, I want to make sure I mention that one because the main character is bi and a witch and super hot. Oot. So like, Dani Brown. That's probably, I loved Chloe Brown, but Dani Brown was my favorite, so I was mad that I couldn't remember the title. Anyway, Talia Hibbert, look her up. Amazing, amazing romance novels.
Nice. Well, I'll do my romance next then, which is, I feel like such a badass saying this. I got an arc of Casey McQuiston's One Last Stop.
Jealous.
Which I felt so fancy. It's like, oh, you approved me? Oh, I'm somebody. No, I'm but it's everywhere, so I almost feel like, oh, duh, obviously. But it's really as good as the hype says. It's a young woman who's moved to New York, and she's a reformed child detective, which is like a cool premise.
Hmm.
And she just like kind of gets looped into this gang of kind of like patchwork queer characters that she rooms with. And in Casey's style, it's all very like lovable and voicey and pacey. And the main character meets a super hot lesbian on the train who it turns out is trapped from the 1970s. The character she meets is like stuck on this Brooklyn train, and they have to figure out how to get her off. Mm. So, and if she can come to the main character's time once they've fallen in love, or if she has to go back to the 70s.
Mm.
So it's all very full of pride and queer representation, and it's just lovely.
Casey's first book, Red, White, and Royal Blue, I have read multiple times. That is one of romance novels that like gave me a reason to live in 2020. Yeah. I think it came out in 2019, right? But I've read it like several times. It's a comfort read at this point.
So like, you remember I had a concussion about a year ago, mm-hmm. and there was a month where I couldn't read and I couldn't write and I couldn't do anything except listen to books. And I listened to that book like maybe four times or so. It just was so comforting. I was laying in my bed, really upset about my concussion, really scared. And yeah, the Red, White, and Royal Blue audiobook totally got me through it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We all need books like that right now.
Yes, for sure. My next pick is White Magic by Alyssa Washuta, which comes out on April 27th. Mm. And this is a collection of essays written by a Native woman, and the book is described as connected essays about land, heartbreak, and colonization, and also witchcraft. And then there's this amazing list of cultural artifacts that pop up in these essays. Twin Peaks, the Oregon Trail 2 video game, a claymation Satan, and a YouTube video of Stevie Nicks. And I'm just like, okay, let's go. Sounds amazing. Definitely would like to read more Native authors, and I think it's really compelling also.
Awesome.
Yeah, she is an amazing essayist. She has another collection that came out a couple years ago called My Body is a Book of Rules, and it's just so powerful, so I'm really excited to see that. Yeah.
Nice.
Awesome. Let's see. I was trying to go in order, but I don't even know what's happening now. Like a release date, I don't know. These are all great books, and you should pre-order them, and then they will show up at your house like magical presents from your past self.
Yes. It is the best to like have the foresight to pre-order a book like way in advance and then forget all about it.
Yes.
And then it comes and you're like, I loved myself.
Yes.
I wanted me to be happy.
Highly recommend. Feeling. Yes. So the next one I'll recommend is Girl One by Sarah Flannery Murphy. This one is being pitched as Orphan Black meets Margaret Atwood, which, again, amazing pitch.
Yeah.
And it's about this young woman who is the product of this medical experiment that basically achieved virgin birth. So it's like this group of women who all had babies without the help of a man. But it was pioneered by this kind of controlling male scientist who's like their father figure and kind of a source of controversy. And so now the girls are all grown up, and someone is trying to track them down and kill them, and they have to figure out like what's going on and stand up for their rights and humanity. And there's also some like supernatural kind of superpower elements of this. It's a lot of fun. It's very like twisty adventure kind of escapist reading.
I
loved it.
Nice.
That's another really one I read as a blurb, for a blurb, and they sent me a bound manuscript. It's really long, and I was like, I saw all the pages, and I was like, oh no, I don't have time to read this, but it goes so fast. It's like so like compulsive. You just keep turning the pages. So.
I love books like that. I love books that are really long, but they read really fast, so you get the sense of accomplishment, like I did it.
Yeah, yeah. But I definitely, as a writer, whenever I see books that long, I'm like, but how? Like, how do you, how does one write that many pages? Oh. I'm so impressed.
Once I get past 85,000 words, I'm like, let's wrap this up. Yeah.
My books tend to be, like, I guess that's it, because my books tend to be, like, over 90,000 words, like, between 90 and 95, which is, like, kind of long-ish for a thriller. And then I see, like, the sci-fi writers and the literary writers and who have these epic tomes, and I'm just like, how do you keep it all in your brain? Like, I'm so confused, but also impressed, and teach me.
So my next one is called Dial A for Aunties by Jessie Q. Sutanto.
Yes.
Ah, it's so fun. Okay, so this is, so what you have here is a family that runs a big splashy wedding planning business, and the daughter accidentally kills her blind date and asks them for help getting rid of the body or hiding the body, but the body accidentally gets shipped to this wedding they're planning in a cooler.
Oh,
and the
God.
Wedding's on this, like, big, fancy billionaire island. And so now it's, like, a Weekend at Bernie situation where they're trying to figure out what to do.
Ugh, so obsessed.
Like, that sounds so fun.
No. And this, I think this is already, like, a Netflix, I don't know, movie or series. And, like, Jessie is producing. And, oh, my God.
I'm ready to watch that on Netflix right now.
For sure.
So highly recommend. Highly, highly recommend that one.
When does that come out?
April 27th.
Yes. Man, this is going to be such a good year for books. We're like only to April. Wow.
Yes.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I know very little about this book, but I heard it being discussed on Twitter and I was like, fuck, sounds incredible. The Hellions Waltz by Olivia Waite comes out in May. And if you go on the Goodreads page, there's like nothing there yet, but it's described as a Regency era queer heist romance.
What?
Right? I know. It's like, okay. I don't even need to know anymore.
No, I'm sold.
I want the book. It's like, just those few words alone were enough to put it on my list, because like, that just sounds incredible.
Wow.
That sounds incredible.
Yeah. I need it. Okay. I'm totally going out of order. I'm going to circle back to February now, because I realized I skipped over one that I'm really, really excited about.
God bless you for having an order, though, because mine is just chaos, and it's supposed to be chaos.
Well, I have I use this app called BookTrack that I keep track of, like, all of the books that I want to buy and the books that I have in my library, because I wanted to stop keeping track on Goodreads. As everyone knows, I'm trash and read all my Goodreads reviews, but I stopped tracking my own reading because... I'm sure you guys experience this too. Like, as an author, you know so many people who have amazing books coming out, and then you don't have time to read all of them. Yeah. And then if you put on Goodreads that you're reading their book like a year after it came out, then they're going to be like, I don't know. I just am paranoid. Yeah. People are going to see it. Yeah. Like, what the fuck? Why didn't you read my book before now? Yeah. Like, don't you love me? So I downloaded this app to keep track of my reading, like, privately.
It's probably a good idea. Yeah.
Yeah. But you can sort it by release date order, so that's why I'm able to do this with some consistency, but I'm jumping around anyway, so who fucking cares? Okay, so Confident Women by Tori Telfer comes out on February 23rd, and this is nonfiction. It is about history's notorious but often forgotten female con artists.
Ooh.
And their outrageous scams. And Tori is the author of Lady Killers.
Yes, which was that's a right.
Book, yes.
Oh, my God.
Which is a book about female serial killers through the ages. Which had... I fucking love Lady Killers. It is like... It's such a fun book. I mean, it's dark subject matter, obviously, but her voice is so amazing. And it has these great illustrations of each of the women, and like really delves into their stories in a way that's not... Like, I read a lot of... things about female serial killers when I was researching for They Never Learn, and so much of it will feel really like salacious, or like they're kind of celebrating them without interrogating, like, that, you know, they're murderers. Like, just kind of, I don't know, like, some things left a bad taste in my mouth, but not Tori's book. Like, she really takes a thorough and thoughtful look at the history of female serial killers and what drove them to kill and everything. So I have no doubt that this book will be equally amazing. Confident Women coming out in February. And I remember Tori spoke at some conference I was at when you were allowed to go to conferences. And I remember her mentioning this. It was like a year or two ago. And I was like, holy shit, con women, yes!
I love it so much.
Can't wait to read it.
Well, my next one's a duh. I'm sorry, but the third You book is coming out by Carolyn Kepnes. You Love Me.
Can't wait.
I love it. I love it so much. It's like that, you know, that unlikable female character that we're always talking about. Like, I like her, though. That's how I feel about Joe. I like Joe. You know, he's terrible. We know it. But I like Joe. I like his voice. So I can't wait to read you number three.
I don't feel the same about Joe, but I am very excited.
I know.
Excited to
you don't like
book.
Joe, right?
No, I don't dislike Joe. I just, I don't know. Like, I think I watched, I've only read the first U-book. I have Hidden Bodies and I haven't read it yet.
Yeah.
And I've watched the show, and I think I love his voice. I love, like, watching his antics and everything. Mm-hmm. But there's a part of me that's watching it thinking of Scarlett from my book, They Never Learn. Just, yeah. Like, she just needs to kill this motherfucker. Yeah. Like, someone needs to kill him. So, yeah, that's kind of how I feel about him. But he's a great character. I mean, oh, my God.
I also love the way Carolyn Kepnes does her little social commentary in everything. You know, when she took them to L.A. for Hidden Bodies, I was just, like, delighted. The whole book was just sort of like a low-key roast of Los Angeles, and I was just completely here for it. And so was the book one. You know what I mean? It was kind of like a low-key roast of, like, MFA culture in New York. And then so book three is about this little island in the Pacific Northwest, and Joe kind of escapes up there, and he's working as a librarian, and he meets somebody who, this seems scary. She sounds like she's a single mom. So this one might be a little scarier for me than the other two. So I'm curious to know what this will do with the social commentary aspect, if she's going to do any fun, like, Pacific Northwest jokes and stuff like that. So, yay.
I hope so.
You number three.
Nice. This is also kind of like I feel like this does not need any help from our podcast promoting it, but Joan Didion has a new book coming out at the end of January, and I fucking love Joan Didion, and I love everything she's ever written, so very excited. I'm obsessed.
Well, this one doesn't need any help from us either, because it sold in, like, a 7-figure deal, but The Other Black Girl by Zakiya Delilah Harris. Do you guys remember when this deal announcement came out?
I don't think so. I'm, like, thinking about it. I'm like, how did I not remember this?
It's being pitched as Get Out meets The Devil Wears Prada. About the tension that unfurls when two young black women meet against the starkly white backdrop of New York City book publishing.
Oh.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. I think it was, like, a 7-figure deal. It was some, like, massive deal, like, huge auction situation when this sold. And you can see why. Like, that pitch, I'm dying to read this. And has an amazing cover as well. So that comes out June 1st. And I think it's going to be one of, like, the books of the summer that we'll all be reading.
I agree. I'm looking at this. You're right. This is going to be a big one. And also, the cover is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My next one is coming out on April 13th, and it's a young adult, but it's a coming out book. So I know sometimes people are looking for a good coming out story. This is a young adult called Between Perfect and Real by Ray Stovey. And it's about a trans boy who gets cast in the role of Romeo, and through this journey of playing Romeo, realizes he wants to come out in general in his life. So it's a really beautiful book. I really recommend it. Ray is lovely, and I'm just really excited for this book.
You know, I love a theater book.
Yeah, exactly. And some people don't want a coming out story. They're like, I just don't feel like reading about that. But some people really do. So if you have someone in your life who wants to read a coming out story, this is a great one.
And there's always space for all queer stories.
Yeah.
And so I think that's really good that we are constantly getting stories from across the spectrum of queer experience.
Yeah, and I love this idea that you're playing this role and it helps you to sort of see what you want to do with your life. I think that happens to us when writing books too. Maybe that's why I latch onto this so much, is because I feel like I've learned a lot about myself through writing. So,
yeah, for sure. One of my current projects, it is, like, teaching me all about myself, which is probably why it's taking me so long to write it. It's, like, a book I've been struggling with for years, and yeah, you do sometimes, it's like you have to grow into the person that you need to be to write this book.
Yeah. It's true.
Yeah.
Well, I am looking forward to While Justice Sleeps by Stacey Abrams, who is
Stacey fucking Abrams. Yes.
A real life hero for obviously her impressive work in rallying the Georgia Democrats to get out and vote. And she's a published romance author under a pen name, Selena Montgomery, with who she's written like 8 novels under the pen name. While Justice Sleeps is a mystery with the Supreme Court as a backdrop, and it's published under her own name. I can't fucking wait. I
cannot wait.
I pre-ordered it like on, I think on Election Day in November. The moment that I heard about it, I was like, fuck. So yeah, can't wait for that to come. It will not arrive until May 11th, but you know, I think that'll be really exciting to see, like a take from an insider, and also just I want to support her because she's amazing.
Yeah, totally. Like I have to be honest, that's not the kind of book I would like ever read, like a thriller set at the Supreme Court. But for Stacey Abrams, I will absolutely, like, I'm very excited.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be really interesting. It's like that thing where you're, it's like that book that you recommended about the, you know, it's written by a snowboarder about the sport that they're a part of. And so in her case, I mean, this is going to be fascinating.
Yeah, that inside look will be really interesting.
Yeah. Ugh, can't wait.
I'm just like, I know she is busy, but I'm like, can you give us some productivity tips?
Oh my God, Stacey? I know.
Like, you do so much.
It's like, damn.
I'm not saving democracy and I can't even finish anything. And she's churning out the books and she's amazing.
I have a friend of a friend who's a practicing doctor and writer of young adult books and writer of nonfiction books. Ugh. What the hell?
I don't, we're all lazy assholes. That's what the hell, Wendy.
Mom. She has 2 kids and I follow her on Instagram and she's like a professional level baker also.
Well, that's what, just the excessive. Hell? Stop it.
The baking really sets me over the edge, okay?
Yeah.
It's unfair.
It's like, how dare?
How dare you? Cakes with flowers made out of frosting?
Also teach us. Also, we want to eat the cakes.
My dad, as my daughter eats Eggo waffles so I can record my podcast. Whatever.
I'm like, your daughter's alive. You're fine. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how you do all that you do, Wendy. I'm just like here trying to keep my dog and cat alive and not murder my partner when we're trapped at home. That's,
you deserve,
like,
points.
All I can do.
All of our partners are still alive and that is an accomplishment.
Yeah.
Also, everybody is just doing their fucking best. I mean, not everyone. Yeah. There are some people who are distinctly not doing their best, but most of us are doing our best. And that's all you can really hope for right now, I think.
Some people had time to charter private jets to go bust into the Capitol.
Yes. Some people have time for that. Time for ridiculous furry get-ups to wear while running around with spears.
What the fuck was that?
Oh my God. I just can't.
we're not going to talk about it, but we have to talk about it a little bit.
Speaking of the lady who chartered a private jet to go on her little rampage at the Capitol, my favorite part about that story is that, like, in one of the videos she posted, she managed to fit in like a commercial for her real estate business. she's like, if you need to sell your house, come to Jenna Ryan. It's like, oh my God.
Is this bitch who was like, the president should pardon us because we were just doing what he asked us to do?
Yes. She wants to speak to the manager of America.
I mean, to be frank, so do I. But yeah, these people are just unreal. I just don't even know.
Yeah. Any other books?
I would be remiss if I did not mention Walking Through Needles by Heather Levy, which comes out on June 29th. Heather was my mentee in Pitch Wars last year, and her book is fantastic. It's like a very dark family drama set in Oklahoma. I'm like, we better all be recovered from all of this bullshit and ready to read dark fiction again by the time her book comes out, because it's spectacular and I want everyone to read it. Nice. So that comes out June 29th from Polis, and I'm so excited. It has this gorgeous cover too, with like this kind of blue and pink sky and like a lightning strike, and I'm so excited for Heather and for everyone else
to
discover her work.
The cover is really pretty. Yeah, the cover's gorgeous.
I am really excited about Megan Abbott's The Turnout, which comes out in July. And it's Megan Abbott's take on her typical dysfunctional relationships between women, but it's set at a dance school. And I'm just like very much here for that.
Injected into my veins.
Yes,
I cannot wait.
Give it to me. Like, everything Megan Abbott writes is like absolutely perfect for this podcast. So Very excited about that.
I'm really excited about Riley Sager's upcoming Survive the Night.
That sounds super cool.
It's like she gets into the car with the serial killer and she has to survive the night. And it takes place in 1991. I didn't know that until I like looked it up on Goodreads. I was
because there's so many plots that don't work once everyone has a cell phone. What I'm finding writing this book set in the 80s for Audible. It's like so great because there are all these things we can get away with.
Yeah,
they don't have the technology. It's great. Like our plot would break in an instant if people had cell phones, I think.
Yeah, it's really fun writing historical for that reason.
I hate that the 90s are historical, but I guess.
Yeah, so it's like the Survive the Night book. It's like these two people meet at a campus ride board. They're going to share the drive to Ohio from, I don't know where they're coming from. And they're both kind of getting away from something. For the main character, she's like, her best friend was murdered and she's trying to run from the grief. And for him, he has to go help take care of a sick father, but then it turns into, or does he have to run and who is he? And so it's like this road trip serial killer.
Ooh. Book.
Is he like a hot serial killer? Because, you know, that's like a problem for me in that I will have a crush on the serial killer.
You probably will, knowing
I should be more obsessed with Joe, shouldn't I? You know what? The thing about Joe is his whole, like, I'm just a nice romantic guy. I'm right. Like, that's what I don't like about Joe. Which I think that is what makes him an interesting character and why we all love to read about him, that juxtaposition. But, like, for me personally, I like a creep who's like, yeah, I'm a creep and I'm hot. Deal with it.
Yeah, you like a more unapologetic, I am a villain.
Yes, I do. Yeah, I think that's it. I've been trying to figure this out, and I think that's it. But again, he's like an amazing character, and I can't wait for that book, just for my own personal thirst. I have even lower morals, apparently. We all know this. Oh, well, Girl 11 by Amy Suter Clark. I wanted to mention that one. She's my agent's sister, and it is a dark and twisty thriller about a woman with an investigative podcast. I know we all love the true crime twisty stuff here, so highly recommend that one. And actually, I want to shout out also, Amy just started her own podcast called Scared Litless.
Really?
Only a couple episodes so far, but it's really great, like interviews with authors. One of her first episodes was an interview with friend of the podcast Hallie Sutton, which I listened to because I'm like, if I'm your Pitch Wars mentor, you can never get rid of me. I like listen to all of Hallie's interviews and like send her texts about them, and she's like, you really don't have to listen to all of these, and I'm like, yes I do.
I know, like, I'm like proud that too. Mom. I was just like torturing Wanda. I was like, okay, let's work on blurbs. Send me your thing. I'm going to reach out to this person.
Yeah. You can't get rid of us. Never. Ever. But yeah, so Amy's book comes out, I think, in April 20th. But you can listen to her podcast, Scared Litless, right now, wherever you can find podcasts.
I just did. I found it on Spotify. Scared Lit-Less.
Yes, there's a dash. Scared Litless.
Yes.
All right. Well, I think that's it for now. I'm sure we are going to talk about some of these books again on the podcast and many, many, many others. If we do end up in bunkers, hopefully we'll have a lot to read while we're there.
Nice.
Best. Hopefully we can at least receive mail in our bunkers. I don't know, but hopefully that'll be
already
possible.
Like, I made a list using that app I mentioned earlier. I made a list of all of the unread books I have, and it's like 275.
Yikes.
And then I was like, cool, time to order 10 more books and also reread Rebecca. Like, I can't be stopped. It's fine.
I don't know what to say. I'm in the same situation. I keep donating books and yet I still have more.
Yeah, I don't understand how it's possible. Like, I feel like I've donated so many books and yet there are still so many books.
I know. I'm not going to sell these books on eBay. I'm not going to do it.
No. I mean, who has the time?
You could be reading during that time. That's the whole point.
Or hiding from reading and watching endless ridiculous shows on Netflix and pretending we're busy reading.
Or that.
Wendy,
like that.
Don't tell them. Just gonna expose us. I'd say edit this out, but I know that you won't. We're all exposed. I won't. Now.
That's it for this episode of Unlikable Female Characters. Don't forget to subscribe, and you can also follow us on Twitter at UnlikableFCPod for updates, book recommendations, and angry feminist rants. Our website is unlikablefemalecharacters.com, and we're also on Instagram at UnlikableFemaleCharacters. Thanks for listening.